God bless. I want to thank Reverend Joe Armstrong for asking me to share today. Did you guys know that different people are in charge of one day here? And they're kind of asking people and what to teach and who to lead and stuff like that. So thanks, Joe, for asking me to share today. I get the privilege to share on believers who were and are more than conquerors. We're going to look at Jesus Christ, Paul, and us. And we're going to start in Romans 8:37. This is pretty neat to start off the first word of a teaching with no. No, or as Big Mama would say, oh, hell no. Nay, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that what?
Awesome.
More than conquerors is super conquerors. God's word tells us how powerful God's children really are. We're more than conquerors is one Greek word. Actually, Patty mentioned it earlier today. It's hypernikeo. And it's to be more than a conqueror, to gain a surpassing victory. And this pronoun we in this verse is properly supplied because we are more than conquerors right now. And that's a great truth and a great reality. You're more than a conqueror right now. We're going to look at these believers like Jesus Christ and Paul, but it's also us because God's word says that we're more than conquerors. So even if you don't feel like it, even if you're having a bad hair day, some might think I have bad hair days, but actually, I have great hair days every day because I don't have to worry about it. But even if you don't feel like it or, you know, you think you're not, God is right. You are more than a conqueror right now. In the dictionary, the word conqueror is a person who conquers a place or a people or a thing. And it doesn't say that we're conquerors. It says more than conquerors. So in this definition, you could add the word super before each part. So it's one who conquers, one who gains a victory, one who subdues and brings into subjection or possession by force or by influence. A man who defeats his antagonist in combat is a conqueror, as the general or admiral who defeats his enemy. So it's a super vanquisher, a super defeater, a super victor, a super winner, a super champion, and a superhero. So the first believer I want to look at is Jesus Christ. You can go to Ephesians 4. So Jesus Christ, he was not God. He was a man with like passions like us. He grew up from the baby Jesus. You know? We don't pray to the baby Jesus. I might have told you this before, but Juliana, she was 6 at the time. She said, Daddy, did Jesus Christ poop in his diaper? And I said, he absolutely must have pooped in his diaper. And Mary must have been like, oh, geez. Oh, geez. Jesus was a baby. We got a baby up in here somewhere. We don't pray to the baby Jesus. We pray to God in the name of the baby Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, the adult one. He grew up, you know. There's the record when he was 12 years old, asking questions, answering questions. And then he grew into a man who fulfilled God's plan of redemption. And in Ephesians 4, verse 8, it says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity what?
Captive.
That is awesome. Who even knew that was possible? He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Anything that enslaves or is bondage to man, Jesus Christ captivated it as more than a conqueror. Ephesians 2:14. For he is our peace, who hath both won and hath both broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Jesus Christ removed any barriers between us and God. He broke them down. That's been conquered. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I got verses tonight. You ready to go on this ride with me tonight?
Yeah.
You ready, ready?
Yeah.
We're riding. We're riding 1 Corinthians 15 right now. 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ conquered death. Who knew? He conquered death. He won the victory over death. He conquered it, so we also have the victory over death. Philippians 2:10. Jesus Christ was a super conqueror. There's no doubt about it. But it wasn't automatic. He was a man. He was a baby at one time. Philippians 2:10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, whatever that is. That's how much Jesus Christ conquered, that every knee should bow. Talk about a victory. Colossians 2:10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You know, it's something to be the leader of an organization or the head of a corporation or something like that, right? Or the head of a university. Jesus Christ is the head of all principality and power. Ah, that's a great one. Romans 8. Back to Romans 8, 34. Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Jesus Christ is the super conqueror who's seated at the highest position available. He's seated at the right hand of God. This Jesus Christ, he's man's, he's ours, our greatest example of someone who was actually perfect. And we share full identification with him. We have full identification with Jesus Christ as more than a conqueror. Isn't that amazing? That's us. It's too good almost, but it's not too good because it's real. It's true. The second believer I'm going to look at who is more than conqueror is Paul. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Verses 11 and 12. Galatians 1:11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation pertaining to Jesus Christ. Of is pertaining to Jesus Christ. Paul received. He received revelation to write God's word down. And I thought, you know, This is a great person to look at here as more than a conqueror. Paul, his conversion was approximately 37 AD. This stuff is in the back of the Bullinger Bible. And he was approximately 33 years old when he was walking on that road and had that situation happen to him. Is anyone in here 33? Who's close to 33? Joel, stand up. Right there. Look at Joel, my man. I wanted to look at Paul because, you know, when I think of him, I think of him as the great apostle Paul, accomplished and that guy. But look, this is, he was also a babe in the word, right? He was a babe in the word. And it was about 16 years later after his conversion that he wrote the first epistle that he wrote, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. It was about 16 years later. And it was about 22 years after his conversion that he actually wrote the book of Romans. And he would have been about 55 years old at that time. So I wanted to look at Paul because he was the one who actually received this revelation that we're looking at in this the theme of this camp, More Than Conquerors. Romans is that doctrinal epistle. I think Jerry mentioned that. And doctrine is what? It's how to believe rightly. It's okay to tell people how to believe rightly. Because if people aren't thinking the word, they're believing what? Wrongly. That's good to tell people how to believe right. And that's what a doctrinal epistle is. Romans, this revelation is, I want to look at this stuff that we're going to go over right now in Paul's life in light of Paul and his growth in the word. From a person who wasn't a believer to a person who became the great apostle Paul. So go to Acts 9. Told you we're going on a ride tonight. Acts 9. Verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, yo, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It'd be really awesome to hear the actual sound of that, to hear how it was said. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat or drink. So that's how Paul got in the word. You know how you got in the word, right? Well, that's how Paul got in the word. Look down at verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul. That indicates that he was born again at this time. He was born again at this time. Brother Saul, and the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. That word filled is filled to overflowing. which indicates that he spoke in tongues. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. Look down at verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. And 23. And after that many days were filled, the Jews took counsel to what? Well, what was he doing just a little while ago? He had counsel to kill the Christians too, but now, oops, the tides have turned. This is Paul. Verse 26, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all what? Afraid. Would you have been if you heard of that man? And believe not that he was a disciple. Maybe he was trying to fool them to get into the fellowship, get the names and numbers, and then bust them. Verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. Everybody was afraid of Paul. And you would have been too. Because he had a reputation that was known. This Paul had a tremendous heart, and he was famous for all the wrong reasons. Acts 22. Acts 22, verse 3. I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. Paul persecuted this way unto the death. He imprisoned men and women. He didn't care. And Paul had to overcome persecuting the church. He was responsible for the death of believers and the imprisonment of believers. He had a tremendous opportunity to condemn himself really heavy. Think about it. Sometimes we condemn ourselves for hurting somebody's feeling. We condemn ourselves for like a year. You ever do that? You hurt somebody's feelings and they cry and then you get just, bless you. Well, think of Paul and the families of people that died because of him and people he imprisoned and stuff like that and his reputation. Paul became more than a conqueror, conquering condemnation as he grew in the word. This is what Paul said of himself, 1 Corinthians 15. Paul became more than a conqueror, conquering condemnation. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Ephesians 3:8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul did not only receive this revelation in this verse, he needed it and he believed it in his own life. Look down at verse 20 and 21. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul received that revelation. He needed it and he believed it. Romans 7, verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For that I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. Can I get a witness in here, anybody? If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Look at verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Grace, mercy, peace, forgiveness. Paul had to accept and believe these things about himself. In Romans 8:1. Same page? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ was condemned so that we would never have to be. This condemnation is, Jesus Christ was condemned to death. So you and I wouldn't have to be. And Paul received this revelation here in the beginning of Romans 8, that there's no condemnation. Paul was more than a conqueror, conquering condemnation. Romans 8, 5, 5 and 6. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If you mind the things of the Spirit, you're not going to condemn yourself. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He also received the revelation of this epistle, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the what? The righteousness of God in him. What a better way to conquer condemnation than to understand that God made us righteous. You haven't killed any Christians, right? Have you? Even if you did. According to God's word, you're more than a conqueror. Conquering anything that would be condemnation. Anything at all. Philippians 3. Verse 4 through 6, it says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I the more. I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous which is in the law, blameless. The righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul went from being a super Jew to being a super conqueror. He went to the school of Gamaliel, which is like Harvard or something, like a liberal arts school that taught everything, not just one subject. He was part of the Sanhedrin, the group of 70. He had the right to persecute and imprison Christians. And he had to be married and have a son. And he was just the top bloodline. He was like grass-fed prime beef. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He called it all but dung. What is another appropriate term for that? Thank you. Feces. There you go. As brilliant as he was, the right schools, the right bloodline, probably wealthy, it was nothing next to winning Christ to him. And they worked with Paul for years and years before he started his ministry. Paul, over time, became a disciple. First a disciple. Then he became a servant, a sold-out bondslave. Galatians 1:17. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. 2 weeks and a day Paul spent with the great apostle Peter. And Peter, too, was more than a conqueror. We could have just spent the whole week looking at him being more than a conqueror. But Paul got to witness Peter in action. Peter was an apostle who was part of Jesus Christ's fellowship, and he was a fisherman, more of a blue-collar guy in his background. And Paul was a Pharisee, a highly educated Jewish leader who persecuted the church. What a time those 15 days must have been. And what an example Peter must have been to Paul. Verse 20. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the church of Judah, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith, which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. That must have been kind of comforting to him. They didn't know what he looked like going to places. So in light of Paul's life, how he persecuted the church and put it behind him, okay, let's look at Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. If God's the one justifying, then what does it matter who the who is? What does it matter who the who is? God's the one justifying. Verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Paul had to overcome that condemnation of hurting God's children, God's family. And if he didn't believe this stuff, he might as well have rolled over and died. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Well, Paul knew persecution, right? He experienced it on both sides. And they wanted to kill him many times. If you look and read through, it'd be cool to see how many times they wanted to kill him. So keep your finger here or your ribbon. I'll do that. And go to 2 Corinthians 11. You grooving with this?
Yeah.
It's Paul. Awesome character here. 2 Corinthians 11. 24. Of the Jews, five times receive I 40 stripes, save one. That's a lot of stripes. Thrice I was beaten with rods. That's not counting the other stripes he got. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. That must have been creepy. All night? Ugh. You don't know what's swimming underneath your feet in the water? In journeyings oft, in perils of waters, there it is, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, the other Jews, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. That's what they thought he was, a false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and in nakedness. How would you do with all that stuff? That's what I thought when I read this and sunk it into my heart. How would I do with those things? You know? Am I a believer that's going to put on the word? Or am I going to freak out? Paul lived that revelation. He experienced it. He lived this word of God. He needed the word of God that God revealed to him. Just like we do. Go back to Romans 8. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. If you lay down and just take it from the adversary, that's what you're doing. Walking right into the slaughter. Just do. If you just lay down and take it. And you don't literally put on the word. You got to put it on so that you're not like that sheep that just gets slaughtered and just bitch slapped and killed. You got to put the word on and believe it. God had it revealed for you. He had Paul write it for you today. It's not to some other people. It's to you and me. That's what it's all about. God has taken care of us through his word. that we could put it on and believe it and not be like a sheep. That's why 37, no, nay, hell no. Never. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You're not more than a conqueror through yourself. You're not more than a conqueror because of your great ability to figure stuff out. It's not that. It's through him. It's so beautiful. There's nothing more beautiful than this. There's nothing greater than this. God's laid it out for us. We have it all. He shared his heart with us. He shared his word with us. He's not hiding it from us. We have it. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. He loved us. And you could have been the worst bastard ever, like Paul was, and still get it all. So now, Paul is more than a conqueror. He conquers condemnation, and now it's on. Acts 13. And in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Cilicia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. Now you could see, this was God's will. This was by revelation that they were put together and sent. And his name here is Saul. He's still a young believer. And they had also John to their minister. Verse 6. And when they had gone through the isles unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. That is awesome. Here's this deputy guy, a leader, and he called them. He wanted to hear the word of God from them. That's exciting. That's awesome. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name by interpretation, withstood them. That means he cut them off. He hindered them. He prevented them, seeking to turn them away, the deputy, from the faith, from the right way of believing. He was blocking. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Oh, it's on. This is Saul, who, as a physical dude, he must have been no joke with what he was doing and what he loved to do, what he was zealous for doing. And here, he set his eyes on this character. Verse 10, and said, he set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. And the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Oh, Paul boldly operating manifestations busts this guy or this spirit. Busts him. Blind. Kind of like, remember when Saul, 3 days, couldn't see? Maybe he thought this guy would believe after that blindness. But someone tried to stop God's word from being spoken. And he looked at him. And boom. More than a conqueror. Right there. Saul, Paul, man. Acts 14. Eight through 11. And there sat a certain man of Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." Now that's got to take some boldness. First of all, looking at this stuff is so fantastic to see how somebody speaking words can inspire believing. By us speaking God's word to people, they have a decision to make. Are they going to believe or not? And when we hold forth God's word, people have that opportunity to believe. And this person believed, and Paul knew it by revelation that he believed. And he said with a loud voice, "Stand up on thy feet. Brother, go ahead." And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voice, saying in the speech of Laodicea, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." That's how the impact of this man, Paul, and him walking by the Spirit, the impact was the gods have come down. More than a conqueror. What an impression he made. And then, you know, he straightens him out a little later on, verse 15. You know, we're also men, he tells them. And then taught them, and then he continued to teach them. Look at Acts 16. Acts 16, verse 16. "And it came to pass, as we went up to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation.' And this did she many days, these men, oh!" Just enough to make you want to smack the living. "And this she did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out of her the same hour." Paul operating these manifestations, cast out spirits boldly as more than a conqueror. Then, later on in that record, because of what he did, they get in trouble with the law or the people there. And they get the beat down, verse 23. Many stripes on them. They got the beat down and they got locked up in prison because of it. And verse 25. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them." They didn't whisper their praises and singing. The other prisoners heard them. "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed." They were beaten and in prison. Some might think, "I don't look like no more than a conqueror." Beaten and in prison. "And they prayed, and they sang praises unto God." You know what they did? They conquered their emotions to stay put on God's word and not just cry in their pitiful situation. We could conquer our emotions to not just fall apart. But there they were, in prison, beaten, and they were singing. Instead, they manifested fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and temperance. They control their minds. What would we have done? You know, that's what I think about. What if I was beat and thrown in prison? Would I be singing? More than a conqueror in every situation. Acts 19. Verse 9. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Paul was more than a conqueror to speak God's word and to teach God's word. The believing was so hot because of the word that was spoken that people just needed a handkerchief from him, and diseases would be gone and spirits would be gone. Philippians 3:17. Philippians 3:17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample or a two-post. A blow. Paul is an example to us, and he wasn't afraid to tell them to follow him as an example. It's great to have examples, isn't it? Someone, so you could see it. Someone makes an impression. And what an impression Paul made to the whole church. To walk like him, forgetting those things that were behind, like the stuff he used to do to Christians to start with, and looking ahead, moving forward. Paul, what a man, what a believer. And you could see in the word, you know, how he grew and how he walked. So the last believer I want to look at is you and me. God so lovingly made you and I more than conquerors right now. So I need, let's see, 5 volunteers for 1 verse each. Okay, Josh, you do Colossians 1:27. Matt, 1 John 4:4. Christina, 1 Corinthians, it's more than one verse, is that okay? 55 to 57. 15. 55, 57. Who else? Alice? 2 Corinthians 10:5. And one more. Vicky, Ephesians 2:6. So God so lovingly made you and I more than conquerors right now. Colossians 1:27. We covered it already. Who's got it? Stand up and read it bold. We heard from the opening teaching that being saved is what makes us more than conquerors, that Jerry shared. The reason why we're more than conquerors is because we're born again and we have Christ in us. And, you know, you need to just accept that you identify fully with Christ. Everything he was and everything he could do and everything he had and more we have in us. This God in Christ in us, full identification with him. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. He conquered, so we conquer. That's it. Next one, 1 John 4:4. Who's got it?
1 John 4:4. You are God's little children and have overcome them. It's greater to see that is in you than
he that is in the world. Yeah. We have overcome. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You are more than a conqueror. You have already overcome the adversary, the devil. You've already overcome. You already have the victory, the surpassing victory over him. It's a done deal. Game over. Game's over. You already have it. You've won. Not just a little victory, but a great victory, a super victory. Who's got 1 Corinthians 15?
1 Corinthians 15, 55-57. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
He got up, so we get up. He has the victory over death, and we have the victory over death. We've conquered death. Thank God. Because death sucks. I hate it. But we've already conquered it. Because Jesus Christ conquered it. Who's got the next one? 2 Corinthians 10:5. Isn't that a beautiful mind picture? More than a conqueror, conquering every devilish thought to the obedience of Christ. We take those thoughts as prisoners of war. We conquer them. We take them and we get them in a figure four head grip and wrestle them down and smack them down. More than a conqueror. And Ephesians 2:6, who's got that? Vicky.
Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
He's seated in the heavenlies. We're seated in the heavenlies. We enjoy that full identification with our brother. We're heirs together with him. We are also seated at the right hand of God in the heavenlies, people. So to close tonight, John 10:10. The thief, poopy head, dung, feces. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Part of this more abundant life is living it as more than a conqueror. A life that's above measure. That's the abundant life. It's above measure. Operating our God-given manifestations of Holy Spirit. Life's too short not to live this way. It's too friggin' short. My kids are growing up before my eyes. Live it now. Live this life now as more than a conqueror. You don't want to look back and say, coulda, woulda, shoulda. Well, you're in the Word for 50 years, and you never really believe it or do anything with it. Put it on, believe it, and conk. We have what Jesus Christ had, and we have what Paul had. They had God's Word. They had God's Spirit. And they had God's love. Sorry. They believe, and we're more than conquerors. We believe, and are more than conquerors, no matter what comes our way. in all of life's situations, never forget that you are more than a conqueror through him that loved us. I love you.
There was a time when that guy right there couldn't read one verse in front of believers. I love Dean so much. What a man. Man, what a presentation, right? I mean, my God. Look at all the things that he did to overcome. I'm talking about Paul in his life. And Jesus Christ, too. The odds were always against them. And, you know, the longer you stand on God's word, the more you can relate to some of the things that are mentioned in 2 Corinthians 11 about persecution and about these things and that things. You know, it takes guts to stand on God's word. But it's really not that hard if you believe the word. The very first Rock of Ages, which a few of us were at, the theme was 1 Corinthians 15:57, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. And I'll never forget when it was shared, that verse was shared, the word victory was described as overcoming an enemy in any contest, that it was conquest, that it was triumph, and that it was the opposite of defeat. And that's what we have. Because Jesus Christ is coming back. We can't lose. So, Dean, thank you so much. That was just great.